Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey,
well,
let's go.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And so nice to be with you on a Saturday afternoon, looking at the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Panthers 29 beat the Roosters 28 in the first qualifying final, 5:40 this afternoon from GIO Stadium. You'll hear it right here. The Raiders taking on the Sharks in the first elimination final. Then later in the evening, it is the Storm and the Eels from Suncorp Stadium tomorrow afternoon, 4:05. ANZ Stadium is the venue for the Rabbitohs taking on the Knights. That's what lies ahead of us in the path to glory. Not so much glory for the Brisbane Broncos this season. Their first wooden spoon ever, I think 33-year history. The fans are unhappy. The old boys are unhappy. Will all that change now that we do know Wednesday was the official announcement that Kevin Walters is the new Broncos coach? An appointment that most people did see coming. Brownie, what do you make of it?
Yeah, look, it's a great reward for Kevin. You know, he's done a lot of travelling. He's moved his family a lot. He's lived apart from his family to get, in his words, his dream job. So any time a coach does the rounds and the K's that Kevy does, I believe they've earned the right for an opportunity. And for Brisbane, with where they're at with the old boys at the minute, you know, someone that seems to know the Broncos as well as Kevy, who obviously has won more premierships at the club than any other player, it seemed like it sort of made to fit, you know. It seemed the perfect sort of perfect answer for me with where they're at and probably where they're how they've sort of lost that Broncos way, I suppose. It's been a bit of a difficult time for them. And as I said, Kevy going there straight away will bring all the old boys back into the fray, which, you know, regardless of what we say, young blokes, you know, they can't stay away from social media and the outside noises. So straight away, it's a real positive from the old boys coming back in. And as I said, Kevy's got a huge amount of experience now, and he's been coaching for a long, long time now, Kevy, so...
That as you say, they will bring the old boys back in, and I think there will be a vibe around Kevy and what he brings to the club that will be positive. I guess the thing is what's going to happen is in March next year, they're going to have to win some footy games, aren't they, when that all kicks off. It's not just about, oh, I feel good, you know, I've got Kevy back. It is still going to be about results. How much, you know, leeway do people give him?
Well, it buys a little bit, doesn't it, having the old boys on side and the community. And when you hear Kevy speak about the role, he speaks about bringing everyone together. You think that's one of the important ingredients of having any sort of successful organisation, is making everyone feel welcome and making everyone, you know, getting the best out of everyone individually. And that's going to be his focus. It's a big job, isn't it?
Yep.
The Broncos one, and Brownie spoke about it. He's got a fair bit of experience as assistant coaches, and he's done his last couple of years as an Origin coach. Different thing, though, isn't it, when you're doing a rep side as opposed to, you know, week in, week out at an NRL level with a club that's finished last. So a lot of hard work ahead of him, Kevy, and he speaks about the people that are going to come in with him. I think it's important that he gets some really good people around him. They speak about Craig Bellamy. The thing is, with Kevy, and I love Kevy, but... through the Origin series this year, you know, I thought that he lost his way a little bit, to be honest, Tony, you know, with the coach whisperer thing. Last season. And and that concerned me a little bit because, I've always thought that, you know, Kevy had a really strong personality and not that he doesn't, but the fact that he sort of went down that path and confused me a little bit during that time.
It would be exhausting.
I hope he doesn't do that again. Yeah. I hope he doesn't get... You know, you always need good people around you, but you've got to get the right people. Not that he's not, but hope he doesn't go through that process again.
Maybe he's learned his lesson from that, potentially.
Yeah, and you learn a lot of lessons on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that whole year of not being able to mention the other team's name would
be hard, wouldn't it?
Really hard, really exhausting.
He's a bit stressed.
But he deserves his chance, doesn't he?
Yeah, and Brownie, you mentioned the dream job. Well, he spoke to Ben Dobbin on the Rush Hour in Brisbane and talking about really exactly when that dream ignited.
What he does in 2022 is up to him. Obviously, I've got a great relationship with him. I had a 3-year stint with him down at the Storm a few years back. So, yeah, great fella, great character. Exactly what the Broncos need is good, strong characters. But out of respect of him and the Melbourne Storm, they're on their march for another premiership, the Storm. And I'd hate to think that we would do anything to try and derail that.
That wasn't exactly his dream. That wasn't where it came from. That was more about Craig Bellamy, which is another dream he had, which has been not yet fulfilled. What do you think about that notion, you as Coach Brownie, of having someone with the experience of Craig Bellamy coming through as a kind of coaching director if you're the coach? Is it something that can work?
Oh, look, Craig Bellamy can help any football club. Any coach would rather be a coach that's won premierships to a coach that hasn't, because he's obviously... not only one of our more experienced coaches, one of the most successful coaches of all time. So Bellamy can have an influence on any coach, but people need to be careful and they can't expect Craig Bellamy to have the influence of Brisbane as he's had at Melbourne, because at the end of the day, Kevy's the head coach. So it's going to be Kevy's football club, and Craig, if he does take on that role, he'll be offering some good advice, but no one can expect Bellamy to have the same influence if he's not the head coach as what you would have is if he is the head coach, if that makes sense.
And also the Broncos don't have the players that they had at Melbourne. There's not, you know, the players that Bellamy had for so long, Cam Smith, Billy.
But if you look at Melbourne Storm since Craig Bellamy's been there, right? So every star player they have, they developed. They didn't buy. Mm. They've never bought an international. So they lose Billy Slater. They replace him with Pappenhausen. They lose Cameron Smith. They're going to replace him with whatever. They lose Cooper Cronk. Every superstar they've lost, they've replaced from within, where some other clubs have to go and buy them. Mm. They make them. And you just look at Justin Olam. He played in the Q Cup for a number of years, and no one even was really that interested in him. He was a poor defensive player. Now he's one of the best defensive centres in the competition. You know? So, you know, that influence, if Craig Bellamy can help Brisbane develop younger players, Brisbane will become the club that they were in the 90s.
And look at the area that they have, and look at the kids coming through that system at the moment. I mean, they've got to be a development club. They've got the whole of that southeast Queensland region to bring those kids through.
A real good example of Craig Bellamy's style of coaching is his young Tino, who's going to play Origin this year. He was no better than David Fifita, Thomas Flegler, and now he's a far better player than them blokes. Mm. And that's because of the coaching he's been getting.
And even with Pappenhausen, he was third string, really, because Jerome Hughes was there, Scott Drinkwater, and they tried to offload him too. I think every single club said no. No one wanted Ryan Pappenhausen. And then when he finally got a shot, look what they've been able to do with him. And now he's one of the hottest young talents in the game.
Yeah, so what Storm have done is quite clearly is they had the three great players at fullback, halfback, and hooker. So what they recruited in Paul Bunn, he obviously went and recruited numbers of kids in the same position to put in their system as younger players. And in the end, as you said, they had three fullbacks. Mm. And for your roster, you can't have three fullbacks in your roster. It just doesn't work. So at that stage, obviously, young Drinkwater at that stage was seen to be the favoured choice. And he ruptured his pec, I think, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then obviously, Jerome Hughes then was seen as the best halfback option. So that opened the door for Pappenhausen. But you just watch the way their players improve over time. You know, that's what... Bob Brian Smith did very good at St George in the 90s and Parramatta, the way players, their game grew, and Craig Bellamy and his club obviously have done that very, very well in the past 20 years.
With the Broncos, Tony, though, offering, I think it's reportedly a 10-year deal. It's all good if it works out with Kevy for the next few years, but if after 2 years they're looking to move in, a new coach with, a little bit more experience and whatever that mightn't be happy with, where Bellamy's sitting over the top of him. So, it might restrict them a little bit later on. Hopefully they don't worry about that, and that's a really good partnership with Bellamy and Kevy, because that's a great story.
That it is. The other great story will be Queensland State of Origin team now coached by Wayne Bennett for this season, given that Kevy isn't going to be doing that job. That's a great scenario, really, in terms of the newsprint and television stories and on radio. It's going to be massive, isn't it?
It's huge. I think this week was a massive week in terms of media headlines, because Kevy, it's a fairy tale for Kevy to get that dream job, and for Wayne, the super coach, after so many years to go back and coach Origin. I think it's a great thing. I would have liked to see Kevy, because he's put in so much effort, be given one last chance, but I completely understand the fact that it's a big job for the Broncos, and after the season they've had to be able to, really hit the ground running from word go, I do understand that. But yeah, Wayne, it's he's one of those players too. Everyone seems to, Wayne has that aura about him too, doesn't he? I mean, been coaching for so long. So I think it's good for the game and good for fans in general. It creates more interest around Origin, particularly given it's at the end of the year. You need as many eyeballs on it as you can, as many people reading the papers, watching the games, that type of thing. So
there's a lot of young Queensland guys that are putting their hand up at the moment to play in this series as well. If you think about, young Fasua Malawi, they're talking about Mo from the Gold Coast Titans, Lindsay Collins, Sua. There's half a dozen probably debutants that are possibly going to be in this side. So
sorry, Sterlo, you didn't mean to say debutants.
what's the word?
People making their debut. I think it's clunky.
The great thing with all the blokes you just mentioned, Gerds, apart from the young boy from the Gold Coast, your Sewers and these blokes are all playing, going to play finals footy. Lindsay Collins was outstanding last night. He was one of the best forwards on the field last night.
Yep.
Now, Jaden Sewers being one of the form back rows of the competition. So these guys are going to come
young
into
Brimson.
Origin off the back of playing finals.
And then you get
footy.
To play under Wayne Bennett in your first Origin series. I mean,
that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's really cool.
Gordy's picked his Queensland team. We'll go through that in a little while, but we'll get Nathan Brown and Ryan Girdler to together select New South Wales side. So we're not just bringing your own individual teams. You have to convince each other who should be 1 to 13 in that team. I'll give you the 17 indeed. That's coming up. This is the Saturday Scrum. Doing it for King G.
The Triple M. Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Brownie M, Gerds, Tony Squires with you. All right, here it is. This is Gordon Tallis's predicted team for the Queensland State of Origin. I'll just run through them for you. You can just give us your thoughts on this team before you two actually select the New South Wales side. All right, Callum Ponga, AJ Brimson goes on the wing. Kurt Capel and Dane Gagai are in the centres. Valentine Holmes is on the other wing. He's ruled out of week one with a suspension, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cameron Munster in the six. Daly Cherry Evans at halfback. Great Josh Papali in the front row with Cameron Smith. Cameron Smith?
Mm.
I thought Cameron Smith said he wasn't playing State of Origin football. I thought he retired from State of Origin football.
Is Mal in the centres?
Mal Meninga's in the centres. Does Gordy know something that we don't know? You can't see any scenario, can you, Nathan Brown, in which Cameron Smith will be running out in the Maroon number 9?
I think if Cameron Smith's going to retire this year from rugby league, I'd be very surprised if he didn't play Origin.
Wow.
Personally, I don't know Cameron Smith that well.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves playing, and obviously he hasn't made a decision to retire because he's been quite unsure what to do, and he's playing so good. So I can't see him not playing Origin if he's going to retire.
I think it could happen. Definitely.
Gordon Tallis thinks it could
absolutely
happen.
He actually, they had the captain's call for the final series on Monday, and everyone got to do one-on-ones, and obviously Cam was asked about retirement a lot.
Was he?
I got stitched up. I was supposed to be first, and then they moved me to last. So we'd answered the questions 25 times already. Uh-huh. But I said to him, "Why do you love playing rugby league?" And he said, "You know, I just love competing." And he said, from when I was a kid, I just can't lose. I just need to go out there. I just need to win. And what it does to me, just winning. And you could still tell he's still got it. He's still got that fire. And if not, to keep going for another whole season, to go out. Definitely, after hearing him say that, I could definitely see him trying to play Origin.
He's going to be Harry Grant's favourite human, isn't he?
Absolutely. We'll get to Harry Grant and what he said during the week at the Tigers presentation. I think, and you were also there, weren't you? You were the sideline on there. Okay, number 10, back to Gordy's team. Lindsay Collins, who's terrific. Jaden Sua in 11. Felice Kafusi is there. And Jai Arrow, and now on the bench, Ben Hunt gets a run around the bench. He hasn't had a great season.
He's a great utility at Origin.
All right.
Covers a lot of positions, Tone.
Josh Maguire, Tino Fa'asu Malawi is in the number 16, and Moika Fuatuaka, is in the number 17, you're saying. So young guys, the pack looks good, huh?
Very good forward pack, yeah. Right. Definitely a very good forward pack. I'd personally put Edric Lee...
Yep.
In the back.
On the wing.
Well, wing or centre. Edric's sort of one of those guys that until you actually work with him or play his play, and they probably don't quite understand how good a player he is. And it's the first thing, because Danny Brios obviously worked on Fox last year, so he followed the Knights, but the year sort of got, you know, 8 or 10 games in, and Bedsy said to me, he goes, geez, Edric Lee's a good player. And he's sort of one of those blokes. Until you're actually working with him or you play his player, then you probably don't quite understand how good a player he is. So
yep.
I'd love to see Edric get a game.
All right, you two are now the Blues selectors. So you need to come up with a team that you together agree on. Maybe you could start with, who is a lock in this team? Not number 13. I mean, who have you got that just, you know, the both of you immediately agree on?
Jake Trbojevic.
Wow. Fullback?
Oh, lock.
Tedesco?
Oh, Tedesco, fullback. I thought you were talking about lock.
No, I mean.
He wants to lock him in.
No, lock him in. There's going to be no argument about.
There's no argument about Tedesco, I don't think, is there?
Tedesco? Okay.
James Tedesco's in.
Kiri Cleary?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair statement.
Cordner?
Kiri Cleary. Okay. Boyd Cordner's in there as skipper.
Yep.
Okay.
Would you lock Cook in?
He's played the last two series and, yeah, Coruscant's certainly putting pressure on, but I think Cook's probably, he's played far better the last 6 weeks than he did for the first half of the year. I think he's sort of adapted better to the new game of late, so I'd say that Appy's probably had a better all-round year than him, but the fact is the incubate, and he is playing well, and Souths are playing finals footy. It's probably hard to leave him out, but Appy would be in the squad, wouldn't he? He's got to be in the 27-man squad.
If you got Kiri and Cleary in the halves, would Jack White be a lock at left centre?
Yeah.
Fair to say. Addo Carr next to him on the left?
Yeah, I don't see why he wouldn't back the Fox up again. He's playing well.
What about on the right wing?
That's a tough one, isn't it?
No, Faluma's been good.
Wasn't picked in that original.
I'd go with Nick Kotrick. I think he's been around there for a while now and he's pretty solid.
Yeah, Kotrick's obviously a very good player, and Daniel Tupu's outstanding player too, isn't he?
Yeah. But he plays left, doesn't he?
He does, yeah, he does play left.
Blake Ferguson hasn't had the greatest of seasons, but he's when he gets in the blue jersey, he usually performs.
He does,
but
you're right.
You're thinking he's not going to get there?
I would personally go with Kotrick.
Nick Kotrick, okay, we've got there. And who's we've got another centre. Jack White, and you've got him in there. Who's your, see, the right centre, I mean, Zach Lomax wasn't picked in this, the extended squad to start with, was he? Now, Tom Trbojevic has pulled out. He's ruled out. So where
there you go, Sturlo, if you're listening. Yeah. Tom Trbojevic is out.
I don't think he was doing it for Manly, was he? Withdrawing. All right, where do you got? Any takers?
That's a real...
I'd go with Lomax. I'd go with Zach Lomax. I think there's Campbell Graham. I think there's Stephen Crichton. But Stephen Crichton's had a wonderful year, but he plays in the left. And I think getting a guy that's only played one season of NRL and putting him on the other side of the field might be a little bit much of an ask. So... yeah, I like the way Lomax plays. He's aggressive defensively. You know, in Origin, you don't, especially in the centres, you don't get a lot of opportunity. He's a guy that, you know, when the ball goes in the air, he chases it hard and he creates opportunities out of sometimes nothing, and they're the players you need. So he's got obviously still developing and got a couple of errors in his game. I think some of his ball handling this year wasn't outstanding, but I reckon he'd be a guy that would rise to the occasion.
Has he convinced you, Brownie?
He's certainly had a very good back end of the year, Zach Lomax. He's probably become one of the best kick chase in the competition. He can do things by himself. Obviously, he can create opportunity. Crichton, I watch him move. I just don't see why he couldn't play left side of the field for me. He could play any side of the field for me, Crichton. I'd probably be looking at one of those two. I think they certainly look the best options for me. I know they're young. Crichton, for me, gets a huge advantage over Lomax because he's playing finals football.
All right. Does Cody Walker get a look in anywhere, given how well he is playing at this end
he's
of the year?
He's got to be in the 27-man squad for
he'd
sure.
Be my eight, yeah. He'd be my 18th man going in. Oh, I think we're trying to pick
a team
for game one, yeah?
Yep, you are.
So I'd have him locked in at 18. I think the front row is going to be... we've done the backs, have
yep,
we?
Yep, we've done the backs.
Up front.
Mm-hmm.
Brownie,
that's
who you like?
That's tough, isn't it? It's a hard one, isn't it?
I'd go with Payne Haas. I'd start him. And then I'd go with someone with some experience. I'm
trying to write this neatly so Freddie will be able to understand my writing
finals to see out of Tarmow, who's had a great season and got some experience, and Clemmer. I'd be looking for one of those two guys to start. I'd have Paulo on the bench as my third forward rotation.
He's
got
to be in
rotation.
Paulo's got
to I think he'd be great to bring on after 20 minutes in Origin. But I'd either be looking to start with Tarmow or Clemmer, depending on who has the better finals series.
Okay. You happy with that?
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I mean, Daniel Safidi did a good job last year. So and started the year great again. Daniel, then he's missed a fair bit of footy. He had that knee injury. But I thought Daniel started the year. I thought Daniel was playing better than Dave Clemmer at the first period of the year. I thought he was the Knights' most dominant forward there for a fair period until his injury. And he did a great job last year. But it's probably one of the hardest spots to pick at the moment for me. Yeah, it's tough, you know. And obviously, you know, Campbell Gillard had an outstanding start to the year. Hasn't been quite as good the back part of the year. And as you rightly said, Jimmy Tarmia, like the last couple of years, he hasn't raised a mention in this sort of arena, but his form this year has been outstanding. Mm-hmm. And again, he's going to be playing till late in the year, you know. So I think these guys that are playing going late into the year, if there's a 50-50, Freddie's going to go the ones that have been playing as opposed to the ones that aren't playing.
Yeah. And
Dale Finucane's just got to be in the team somewhere.
Yeah, and he'll be playing late.
Yeah.
But okay. He'll be in the middle. So then Cordner, then on the edges, the other side, so somewhere where Tyson Frizzell would always be, but he's not going to have played for a while. So it's a decision on someone like him. You've got a Ryan Madison, Angus Crichton.
Frizzell will be in the 17, won't he?
Yep.
You got Liam Martin.
All right.
I'm going to have to edge back rowers.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you decided. We'll come back and
come back
and say exactly what the team is, because Brad Fittler, as I said, is waiting for us to give him the team list.
He needs our help, doesn't he? Clearly needs our help.
He definitely needs our help. This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. We are in finals footy. Terrific game last night. The Panthers 29 over the Roosters 28. Let's hope if what we saw last night is any indication, there is going to be plenty more of that this afternoon and tomorrow. Three games to come, obviously. The Raiders and the Sharks, 5:40. You'll hear it right here at from GIO Stadium. Then the Storm taking on the Eels from Suncorp Stadium tonight, 7:50, Rabbitohs, and the Knights tomorrow afternoon from ANZ Stadium. All right, we are going to, as we did this time last year, take a deep dive.
The deep dive.
It's one of the all-time great openings, isn't it?
It's as good as the vault, Tony. Start of the year, the vault. When are we going to get the vault out?
And that's what we've got to do, Charlie. We've got to open the vault. Maybe next week, at the end of the season, the last game, we'll get out and see exactly what your predictions were at the beginning of the year.
I don't want to open that. I said Manly would be in the grand final, I think.
Did you really? Well, there was a lot of, you know, love and hope for Manly at the beginning of the year. Mm. Okay, we can't wait for the vault, but right now that is the sound of the deep dive. Let's go to Melbourne and the Parramatta Eels. Most give the Eels no chance against the Melbourne Storm in their current home. Well, they're playing their finals anyway out of Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. Do you see any chance? What do you like? What don't you like? Ryan Girdler, can I start with you?
Dylan Brown's back, which is a big in for Parramatta, because he just changes, the way that they play. They're so much more controlled. I thought they were just frantic last week. They had a decent, I think they've won three out of the last four. So people say going into this saying they're in awful form, I think it's a little unfair. They just can't seem to find the rhythm they were in at the start of the year. And I think Dylan Brown will just give the guys around him, which is strange because he's a 21-year-old kid, but he just gives them a little bit more control or in those key areas. He's got a good kicking game. He's a good runner of the football, and defensively he's really strong. But they're coming up against a side that, you know, I think they've won four games against in the last 14 attempts. Melbourne Storm have won 18, I think, out of their last 21 games up at Suncorp. They rested 10 or 11 guys last week. They got themselves in a position where they're able to do that, and they're one of the form teams of the competition. So... I like Melbourne up there.
All right. Are we still underwater? Is that sound? That's good. I didn't realise the deep dive actually went for so long. It's great. What do you think? I mean, Gutherson is so important for Parramatta, isn't he? He's kind of the barometer a little bit.
Yeah, he's obviously quite an influential player for Parramatta, and his passing game, something he's obviously worked on, which has developed over the past 18 months. But I see one side that's in very good form and a side that's just playing okay. You know, Parra obviously had an outstanding start to the year, and that sort of put him in good stead to finish in the top four, which gives them two bites of the cherry. But you look at the last game they played, you know, a Parramatta at full strength, and Melbourne had about eight out, and Parramatta struggled to beat them back then, you know, and the players that weren't playing were Smith and Munster, and, you know, they had a lot of good players that didn't play. And, yeah, as I said, I think one side's playing very good and one side's just going okay, and I don't see that form turning around in a finals game against Melbourne Storm.
They met, didn't they, in the second week of the finals last year in Melbourne Storm. It was 32-0, very comprehensive. I'm not sure it will be that scoreline again. But how do you change that then? If you haven't been playing, and you're running into the finals and you're not, you know, like a well-oiled machine, what does the coach say? What do you do?
Oh, look, I think obviously, as Gerd's highlighted, yeah, Dylan Brown coming back certainly should add something to Parramatta. But Dylan Brown was playing when Parra had sort of gone off the board a little bit as well, for whatever reason. And it's not that they're going terrible, Parramatta. They're just playing okay. They're doing enough to beat the lesser sides, but they're not doing near enough to beat the top sides. Yeah? Mm. So everyone was sort of saying how disastrous it's been the past sort of 5 or 6 weeks for Parra. I'm not sure it's been terrible, but playing okay in finals won't get you a victory over the Melbourne Storms and the Roosters and these sides, because you know they're going to play well. They're going to turn up and play well. So, you know, Parramatta's going to have to make some dramatic improvement if they're going to trouble Melbourne Storm tonight.
The good sides go into the final series, Tone, believing that they're going to win the competition with a plan to go on all the way. I'm just not sure whether, you know, that's the mindset that Parramatta have at the moment, thinking that they're in this final series to actually go on to the big dance and go on and try and get the trophy. I think they're here at the moment looking for form, trying to find other ways to get the best out of each other. And it's a different, it's hard to explain, but it's a different mindset. You know, you see how Penrith and even the Roosters, you know, through experience, and they could fall back on that. They weren't in great form coming in. I mean, they, up until that South game, they were going pretty well, but then they fell apart last weekend against South, but able to put it back together last night against Penrith and make it, you know, a great contest because of the experience they had. Now, when you look at this Parramatta side and you talk about experience in finals, it's really limited. There's some guys there, but in their key positions, they haven't got a lot of experience. They don't really have any foundations to fall back on, and they're not in great form, so they haven't got momentum. So when you put yourself in that situation, you come up against a side that are just humming along and really believe that they can go on and win the premiership, You're up against it.
So we've got three games to go, and I reckon there's three teams playing who generally think they could win the prop. I believe South Sydney would fancy their chances of winning the comp. Canberra, obviously, you know, yep. John Bateman's already come out and said they're in a better spot this year than last year.
Yep.
Yeah, and you've got, obviously, the Melbourne Storm. I think those three sides generally think they can win the comp. The three sides they're playing, I don't believe they generally think they can win the comp. And those three sides are all playing really well coming in. You take South Sydney's game against Canterbury, their last 6 weeks, they've been very good, South Sydney. Now, Canberra's had a very good back part of the year, really strong back part of the year, with a lot of blokes out injured. And Melbourne Storm, well, they've never had a real bad year since Bellake's been there, have they? They've always been playing well this time of the year, you know, so.
The decision to rest so many players last week in the game against the Dragons, you completely agree, doesn't affect that they didn't have a win rolling in?
I think that's just the bonus from, you know, look at, you know, those guys have been doing a lot of travel. Melbourne saw a lot of people have sort of, if you look at the other three Queensland sides where they've all finished, and you look at Melbourne Storm, who have been based out of Queensland, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that those sides up there have had lots of injuries. And you know, the Bronx and the Cowboys had difficult years because of the laws in Queensland. You know, they're much, much tighter on their COVID laws. And I think the mental part of that has probably had some sort of effect on some squads. But Melbourne Storm, to rest their players last week and to rest, you know, very, very good players who have had good years to freshen them up, I just see that as a bonus for the Storm.
I think 12 of the last 13 premiers have come from those that have had a week off as well. So clearly having a week off, whether it's in the finals or leading into the finals, makes a massive difference being able to rest those players too. And you talk about with not having finals experience, Penrith are really the only ones that probably don't have that with the Raiders, Storm and Roosters, but they have that confidence that no one else seems to have. But honestly, last night when they walked into the stadium, they're all on the field. A lot of teams, when they come in, they're really serious and got their headphones on. They're doing these dances and all these handshakes. It's like they're just kids having fun. Yeah, and I know winning helps, but they've just got this confidence that you don't really see in.
People forget, though, that most of those Panthers blokes started playing finals football 3 years ago. So Nathan Cleary, Viliami Kikau, all these blokes that started when Anthony Griffin coached, they played two finals in a row.
Yeah, they
played
did.
Finals football twice in a row. So they have actually
Fisher Harris, Tarmow's played. You got Kate Well that's played, obviously. He was a premiership winner. So they're sort of...
They're sprinklings
Josh
of...
Josh Mansour's played for his country. He's played for New South Wales. So they got a sprinkling of that.
Yeah. So a lot of those blokes have actually have learnt. You know what? Young Nathan Cleary, he's had an outstanding game last night, but he has played finals football two consecutive years in a row and played origin football. So whilst there might be a couple that have been experienced, I think there's enough blokes in that Penrith side that have experienced to get to this stage where they're at today.
And we spoke about, you know, offering opportunities to good sides and they make you pay. And Parramatta, they did it last week to the Tigers, even though they were able to win. It was 10 or 15 minutes before they found any sort of rhythm. They were really clunky. And we spoke about Brown, and he'll have a different effect. But they made so many errors and their completion rates were down. And that was okay against the Tigers, who aren't playing in the finals. But you do that against a Melbourne Storm or a side that, you know, believe that they're going on to bigger and better things, and that they'll just push you out of the way. They need to make sure today they do the fundamentals right. Against the Melbourne Storm, it's about discipline. It's about getting to the back end of your sets. It's about getting good kicks away. It's all those little things that build up. It's not the big things that win you big games. It's the little things.
All right, we'll check how the market's maybe shifting a little bit later on when we go to Ladbrokes, but just looking at the moment, in a two-horse race, Parramatta at $5, you know, which is pretty big, but listening to the three of you, it sounds like that's probably about where the money should be. Plenty to come, the Coach's Corner, plus Harry Grant. Where is he going? What was he hinting at the Tigers function? Find out soon on the Saturday Scrum. All right, before we get to Emma Lawrence, just going to tidy up our selection of the New South Wales Blues for State of Origin. The selection took place on air. Nathan Brown and Ryan Girdler are responsible. Emma Lawrence and myself just trying to keep it tidy.
There was an arm wrestle over a couple of positions, Tom. Well, that's why we took it off air.
You know, you walked out just then. I think
you changed the team, did you?
No, yeah, there's been a couple of, well, not changes. I just think we're a little bit, I'll just tell you the team now as it stands. And I think 1 to 13, you're basically in agreement with James Tedesco at number one, then Josh Adokar. We've got Jack White, and we have, making his debut, Stephen Crichton. In the centres, Nick Kotrick on the other wing, Luke Keary, Nathan Cleary in the halves, which I think everybody's thought about for quite some time now this season. Payne Haas and James Tarmow, along with Damon Cook, make up the front row. Skipper Boyd Cordner alongside Tyson Frizzell. There was a little bit of to and fro on whether Tyson deserved or would keep his space, given there's he's played with St George, Illawarra, and there's a big gap between games. But he's in there. And Cameron Murray has the 13 jumper, which pushes Jake Trbojevic onto a bench that also includes Dale Finucane, Junior Paulo, and at the moment, Angus Crichton. Now, it's a large bench you've chosen. You're happy with how that covers a whole range of issues? If there's something happens, somebody falls over in the back line.
Are you happy with it, Tony? Well, we've got some guys that can play in the back line. So Cameron Murray, Angus Crichton, those guys can push to the centres, and then Jack Whiten can go in and play in the halves if needed. The issue might
what
be
if Cookie gets injured.
If something happens to Cookie, then
Cameron Murray
might probably have to go to nine. But you know, he's an 80-minute player.
All right. While you were out, Ryan,
who'd you slide in?
I didn't slide. No, it's not me. I'm not doing. Brownie just did mention the couple of players. You thought, gee, I don't know why they miss out, how they miss out.
Okay.
I look at Daniel Saifidi played all three games last year.
Yeah.
And they did win the series, and his form this year is one of the more dominant front rows in the first sort of half of the competition until he succumbed to a knee injury. Now he's a couple of games back, so I'd find it hard for Daniel not to be somewhere in the mix there, I would have thought.
Okay, all right. So we
So do you disagree? Are you sliding him in?
Well,
are you starting him? Who's out?
Well, I can't disagree, so I'll give Gerds as the captain.
I'm letting Gerds.
Daniel, for me, it'd have to be there somewhere. Like if he has
Within the 17, he's got to be
within the 17, I would have thought, you know.
Okay.
Both him and Clemmer started last year's deciding game.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Clemmer was actually probably the best forward in the first Origin last year too. So
he's running agendas, Tone. It's his Newcastle connection.
It always happens
around the table.
I'm just stating some facts.
You shoved in Crichton instead of Lomax. That's an agenda for
He actually,
Panthers.
He overruled me on.
I like Crichton.
Because I said Crichton is a left-hand centre and Whiten will be there instead of Crichton. But
Whiten and Crichton.
Angus Crichton is a better player this year than he was the previous 2 years.
No, we're talking about.
Can we name 19?
Stephen Crichton.
Can we name 19 and leave the bench up to Freddie?
Hey, and doesn't it show you how hard it must be for Freddie and his staff to pick? Like, because we're here debating about these blokes that, you know, and you've got form of blokes who, like, someone will play out of their tree in the semi final. There's always someone that comes out of the ground, isn't there?
If Newcastle get knocked out tomorrow by the Rabbits and Penrith are going to play in the prelim and potentially the GF, would that have some bearing on, you know, who goes into that front row if it is a spot for Saifidi that might be out for 4 weeks?
That's why it's hard to argue with your Jimmy Tamo, and he has been in very good form this year, Jimmy Tamo, and he's just played last night. He's definitely going to be playing in 2 weeks, and you would think a big chance of playing on grand final.
And a little bit of experience might be important too, because Payne Haas is the other front rower. So I don't know. Daniel obviously played the whole series last year, so he goes in with a couple under his belt. But
all right. I love it. Love the process.
I'm not doing it,
love the process. Well played. All right, Harry Grant. He is obviously a representative player of the future. Is he ready to go right now in a Maroons jumper? Who knows?
Except if Cameron Smith comes back.
Cameron Smith comes back and plays
to
in
play
this
Origin.
Yes, and also if Cameron Smith, we don't know yet. Now, what happened? It was at the Tigers presentation night, at the end of season. You were there, Emma Lawrence. Talk us through what happened when he took the stage as the Rookie of the Year.
Well, there are a few questions to begin with. The standard, you know, what does this mean to you? How's the season been? And then the lovely Sam Squires asked a question about Cam Smith and said, are you going to something about get in his ear and ask him to retire? He just laughed and said, you know, well, he's one of the best players we've seen. But, yeah, if he's there at Melbourne next year, I won't be. Wow. And I'm looking around and thinking, is anyone else just thinking, what did he just say? Because it was a...
But did you get a massive cheer? Was that what he was looking for and knew he was just playing the room?
No, well, he said it so casually.
Mm-hmm.
It was as if maybe he had his guard down, and because he's not doing a media interview with the cameras, it was as if he was just chatting and it just kind of came out. And
I mean, had a couple of beers?
they'd all had a couple of beers. They were very well behaved, but after a couple, you know, maybe you've... got a bit more courage to say something. But interestingly, he'd mentioned it to some officials earlier in the night before he got up on stage. That's not the first time in the night that he had mentioned that.
I love yous, I'm not going anywhere, that kind of stuff.
But he didn't say that he would be at the Tigers. He just said, I won't be at Melbourne. So apparently there are a few other clubs all of a sudden, once they saw the headlines the next day, thinking, and asking questions about who his manager is. And of course, there are going to be plenty of clubs sniffing around, but.
Wow, there you go.
The Tigers would like to think.
That'd be some kind of pickup, wouldn't it? Harry Grant.
Oh, any side that needs hook would be an outstanding signer for any club.
All right, well, we will follow that one very closely. Of course, it all does hinge on Cam Smith and his decision whether that... We may well not know that until if they were to get to the grand final, which is, you know, they've got every chance. You know, he may want to go out on that glorious note of holding the shield aloft one more time.
If I'm the Titans, I've got a little bit left in the cap and he comes on the market...
You're going to go?
Oh, I mean, he pushes them to a whole nother level next year if they get Harry Grant.
Okay. All right, plenty to come. Reedy's Mail is next. You listen to the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.